Sermon Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Verse 20, the Bible says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, this is a very interesting thing, because we just came off of that Samaritan who was told, you know, your faith has made you whole. The word is sozo, it saved you. You know, God could have healed some people along the way who never came to full faith in Christ and been saved. This Samaritan not only got his leprosy taken care of, but he came back and understood that Christ was at the crux of it all. And he deserved to be glorified. And I got time for the temple later. Jesus is here now. I'm going where he's at. And he came back. Jesus commended him for that. And it seems weird because out of the blue we get the Pharisees demanding of him. Okay, they demanded of him. When is this kingdom of God? Well, the last time he had mentioned the kingdom of God was back in chapter 16. He actually brought it up to them in verse 16. He says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it." Understand, these people are coming from every sector of society to hear what Jesus had to say. You remember the same was said of John the Baptist, that people went out of the cities and they went to hear John preach. And we get this Charlton Heston view of what John was preaching. And it was like he was yelling at the people, you know, in one sense. But I don't believe that was his disposition. I believe when I read it with the eyes of grace, which he was preparing the way of the Lord, I believe what he was doing was he was probably teary-eyed as he said it. I believe he was a man who loved for God. You remember Jeremiah? He was called the weeping prophet. Now, some would say, well, he was connected to Elijah and the spirit of Elijah. Okay, I'll give you that. But you know what? He was a man who was the bridegroom's best man. He was seeing things clearly as if there was a wedding going to take place. And there was. The wedding was going to be for the son. And he was going to marry a Gentile bride, much like Boaz married Ruth. He was going to find him a Gentile bride. That's you and me. It's called the church. The rest of Israel was supposed to get on board and become citizens that came in for the party, but they were to understand that their Messiah was going to be the bridegroom of the Gentile bride. They never reached to the Gentile bride. They were always on the outside looking at those Gentiles as if they were odious, abhorrent, and unworthy of any kind of standing in the family because they were Gentiles and unclean. But Jesus was trying to set them straight. So was John the Baptist. He was setting the stage for Jesus to come. And he was telling him, you need to repent. You need to change your mind about who you are and what God's up to, because you're not getting a clue. When he was brought into the scenario, John was preaching to them that one was coming and they needed to listen to him. And if they would listen to him, they would hear. But he knew that many would not. And that maybe got him a little fired up. Very few times do you see even Paul really striking out in a discourse, but he did with that high priest that had him struck. He called him a white wall or something. And he said, "Don't you know you're cursing the high priest?" He said, "I couldn't tell. I didn't recognize him. I'm sorry." And he quoted scripture to say, I was out of line. Guys, listen, I'm telling you that the scriptures are complete. They're full. There's a kingdom. And these Pharisees, they've got a problem with the kingdom of God. They think they're going to be on top. And they're not going to be on top. They're going to be within. And when he says it's within you, it's an interesting verbiage, because he tells them, first of all, in verse 20, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Now, you may not remember it, but I kind of do, because I'm the guy up here driving a little bit. But I remember when the Bible says there was a man who had dropsy, and they were watching him. They were standing by watching him. It was paratereo. It was the idea of standing by and guarding him, just ready to pounce, seeing whether he would break the Sabbath by healing this man as he's going into a dinner of one of the Pharisees who had invited him. That's the same word here. It doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come with parateresis. It doesn't come with paratereo, if you want to smooth it out a little bit. It's the idea of standing beside like a paramedic, not a medic, but a paramedic, and he's taking the information on the phone to fix the person. This is paratereo, meaning a guard, guarding beside. He says it doesn't come like that. You're not going to see the kingdom of God when you've got an eyebrow raised. Think about that. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Understand, Jesus is very clear about this. Except you become as a little child, you can't enter. These guys aren't there. And so when he gets into this discussion where he's being demanded, in one sense, they're kind of been kind of poked by Jesus. His recent parables have been very implicating for them. And in the end of analysis, they're demanding now. They're getting a little demanding. Well, why is that? Well, see, they are the keepers of the gate in Israel. They're supposed to go out when John was out there. They were supposed to go out and find out what this guy was all about so they could counsel their people. Jesus was the same way, but he didn't hide. He would come into Jerusalem at times and they would hang out and watch him. And they were just seeing how many things he would do wrong. They couldn't accuse him of anything except things that they had to kind of knit together. You know, they would even at the night of his crucifixion, they would have contradicting different testimonies coming. They couldn't get two witnesses to agree. And they got so frustrated, they say, "We adjure you by the living God, art thou the Christ?" He says, "It is as you say." It is as you say. Oh, blasphemy. You know why they killed Jesus? Because he said he was God. You want to think about his deity? They took up stones to stone him because in saying that he was the Son of God, he made himself equal with God, the book of John tells us. Jesus was God incarnate. We call him Emmanuel in the Christmas narrative, right? His name shall be called Emmanuel. It means God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Listen, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was God, and He became flesh. Listen, doctrine matters. Who do you think Jesus is? If you don't understand Him to be the God-man, the incarnate God-man, you'll never be able to follow the thread out to realize that He is the only one who could have died for the sins of the entire world. He alone was the ocean to the drip that I was in the midst of all of this cosmos. He is an ocean of righteousness. He comes in like a flood. His righteousness was able to absorb my sin and then go beyond that and impute to me a standing of righteousness before Himself so that I might, in Ephesians 1, be before Him holy and without blame. How does that even make sense if it's an angel, if he's just a good man? Can't, but he's God. Man, he's good. And I'm telling you, he loves us so much he gave his life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But don't forget verse 17. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The Bible tells us elsewhere that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. The times of our ignorance, God winks at and now commands all men everywhere to repent, to come to a knowledge of who He is. And when you see who He is and what He did, how He condescended, you can begin to say, "You know what? My pride is ridiculous. Look what He did. He was the King and Prince of Glory. Angels meeting His every beckon and call. And He divested Himself of His prerogatives. And He came into this world made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He was so willing to condescend, He actually washed the disciples' feet. So what is this all about? You're demanding about the kingdom? You're talking to the king with such insolence? Come on. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. He is the king. And what he just told him is it doesn't come with the kind of disposition you're coming with. You won't even see it. It'll be in front of you. You won't even recognize it. I've given you some kind of aspects of the kingdom. You will forgive them. You will. You just will. Listen, you read the stories of the great saints, those people who are dying, being burned at the stake, being thrown to the lions, and blessing their persecutors. You hear the stories, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, of people who were knowing they were going to lose their lives, would tell their disciples it's going to be okay. The people who were listening to them as pastors and ministers throughout history. One man was actually at a point where he was ready to die. And his disciple says, how will we know it's okay? He says, listen, when I'm up there and I'm in the flames, he said, if I raise my hand, you'll know it's okay. And he got burned at the stake, and it looked like he was burnt to death, and suddenly his hand began to move, and it pointed to heaven. That's the kingdom we live in. That's how you can forgive the foolish man who lit the torch. How can you do that? Because we are citizens of a higher kingdom. And you have to understand that what was going to happen, because Jesus was here, the light of the world was here, he was walking, he was showing, he was speaking. You have to realize that things were going to fade a little bit to black on one level. And he says, you won't understand it, you won't see it with an eyebrow raised, and I'll believe it when I see it. I'll tell you what, you'll see it when you believe it. That's what's going to happen. You need to take what you got and take God at His word. The Bible says Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how he got saved. He just believed God. Now, didn't say believe in God. You say, well, I believe in God. No, that ain't going to do it. Devils believe and tremble, James tells us. So you can believe in God, you can just have a demonic faith. No, you need to believe God. These disciples were there standing watching him deal with these people. And he says it doesn't come by observation in verse 20. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. And when he says that word within you, that concept of being within you is only used here. And in Matthew 23, verse 26. That's where he says to the Pharisees, he says, you blind Pharisee. Not Pharisees, he's evidently dressing down one. You blind Pharisee. Now, that wasn't a very endearing way of addressing somebody, but he did. He says, you blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. What he was really doing was metaphorically telegraphing to this Pharisee, you're worried about me washing my hands? What about your heart? I'm here to cleanse your heart. If you cleanse what's in your heart, you won't have to worry about anything else. The whole thing will be clean. Cleanse first what is inside the cup and the platter. You're dealing with plates and cups and spoons, and it's all about the human heart. In the Bible, that's the only other place this is mentioned, so you understand that this word is very important in the grand scheme of things as he answers their question. So within you could mean also that the Lord's way of appealing to these lost men for the sake of the few was something that was very specific, if I may say. You remember Nicodemus, right? He came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee and a teacher of the Jews. He was a believer. He was one who came for Jesus' body after the crucifixion. Him and Joseph of Arimathea. And so he could have been standing there with the other Pharisees. And you can see him looking at a crowd of like four or five of them. And there's Nicodemus. He says, you can't see it with your eyebrow raised. But the kingdom of heaven is among you. It's within you. Different ways this has been translated to try to communicate the idea are like this. One has it as not just within you, but the idea of is in your midst. That's in the New American Standard. The Darby says in the midst of you. And here's some other things to think about with regard to the kingdom of God and how it is in our midst. Jesus was talking to them a few chapters back in chapter 11, and he says, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's the king. He's doing miracles. And they're calling him to the mat and saying, why do you do this on the feast, on the Sabbath day? Why do you act out? Why do you not stay within the navigational beacons that have been here since Moses' time? He says, listen. They were saying he cast out demons by Beelzebub. He says, listen. He says, if I do this by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is right here. They can't even see it. Do you know people go to church every week and many times they don't even see the kingdom of God? Before y'all came in this morning in Sunday school, we prayed. We said, God, the kingdom of God's coming together today. Because that's what's happening right now. The kingdom of God right now, all the citizens right here that know Jesus, we're all in the kingdom.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.